It's time to talk about Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, his performance in 2022, and how the offense must evolve in 2023 today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Well, folks, I want to spend today's episode really assessing offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey and the Bills' offense. And when I was preparing for this podcast, I thought I was going to do a segment on Ken Dorsey, a segment on Leslie Frazier, and a segment on Matthew Smiley, the Bills' special teams coordinator, and that would be a three-segment podcast. But then I started with Ken Dorsey, and I had enough to say about Ken Dorsey that we made it an entire episode. And so we're talking Ken Dorsey and this offense today. And Ken Dorsey is a polarizing figure among Bills Mafia right now. Between the emails that I receive, DMs, tweets, YouTube comments, I see a wide range of opinions on Ken Dorsey. And sometimes I read these comments and I feel like there's a lot of appeal for what he did and what he can get done moving forward in Buffalo. And then from the other side of things, I see people discussing him in such a way that would make you think the Bills had the worst offense in the league, and surely because of that, they're picking in the top five of the draft. And so I feel like it's just all over the place. And so I want to spend our time today sharing my thoughts on Ken Dorsey and this offense. And so I want to start by measuring the Bills' offense. How good was it? How effective was it? How did it compare to 2021 when Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator, who is now suddenly revered as the former offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills? But I'm old enough to remember all the fire Daboll campaigns that were out there. And now he's a celebrated former OC of the Bills that's doing a nice job with the Giants. And Ken Dorsey is very much in question in the minds of many people. Now, the way that I want to measure the offense in 2022 and, of course, comparing it to 2021 is by using DVOA. And if you're not familiar with DVOA, let's get familiar with DVOA, which is a metric used by Football Outsiders. They came up with this metric, and so I'm going to use their words to define what it is. And so if you don't know what DVOA is, this is how it is defined. DVOA is a method of evaluating teams, units, or players. It takes every single play during the NFL season and compares each one to a league average baseline based on situation. DVOA measures not just yardage, but yardage towards a first down. 5 yards on third and four are worth more than 5 yards on first and 10. And much more than 5 yards on third and 12. Red zone plays are worth more than other plays. Performance is also adjusted for the quality of the opponent. DVOA is a percentage. So a team with a DVOA of 10% is 10% better than the average team, and a quarterback with a DVOA of minus 20% is 20% worse than the average quarterback. Because DVOA measures scoring, defenses are better when they are negative. So that's what DVOA is, and I think it's a really good way to measure how good something is. I think they've come up with a really nice metric to consider what normal is, taking into account situation, taking into account opponent, and it gives you good data. Data that tells you how good something is based on what average is. So in 2022, the Buffalo Bills offense, in terms of total DVOA, was ranked number 2 in the NFL. 19%. So the Bills' offense last year was 19% better than the average NFL offense. Number two in the league. In 2021, they were ranked 10th with a DVOA of 9.7%. So in terms of DVOA, when you factor all the situations that we just talked about and how DVOA is defined, the Bills were better in 2022 and second best in the entire NFL. Let's parse that out through passing and rushing DVOA. The Bills' DVOA on pass plays was number two, 36.5%. So the Bills' passing offense was 36.5% better than an average NFL passing offense and number two in the NFL. In 2021, they were 13th with a DVOA of 20.7%. So there's an area where it was notably better. The passing offense in terms of DVOA was pretty considerably better in 2022 compared to 2021, from number 13 to number two in the NFL. In terms of rushing offense DVOA, the Bills this past year were 11th in DVOA at 0.5%. In 2021, they were 9th at 2.8%. So fairly close there, but the rushing offense was slightly better in 2021. And then lastly, this is not DVOA, it's just points per game. I think it's worth mentioning that the Bills averaged 28.4 points per game in 2022, which is exactly what they averaged in 2021. And so there you have it. That's the statistical story as it relates to the Buffalo Bills offense in 2021 compared to 2022. In so many ways, it was exactly the same. And in terms of DVOA, total DVOA and pass DVOA, it was significantly better. So that gets us to Ken Dorsey, year one. First-time offensive coordinator, first-time play caller. It's who Sean McDermott hired. It's also who Josh Allen publicly endorsed to be the offensive coordinator, replacing Brian Daboll. When that decision was made to hire Ken Dorsey after Josh Allen publicly endorsed him, it was largely celebrated that Josh Allen had a voice within the organization to influence key decisions. People love that, especially when considering what happened in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and some of the things that he said coming out of the last several seasons. Wow, the Bills have leaned into their franchise quarterback, Josh Allen, who's the face of the franchise, and very clearly he has pull, he has rank, he has a voice in the organization, and people love that. Now, when I see comments, it's met with responses like, well, yeah, that's who Josh Allen wanted, but, you know, if you're a parent and your kids want ice cream for dinner, you know that's not what's best for them, and so you don't always give them what they want in that moment. Okay. I don't understand the moving goalposts there. Are you happy that Josh Allen has a voice and got what he wanted? Or is it, well, the Bills needed to be able to tell Josh Allen that this is not the best thing for the team? Folks, I'll tell you what, I don't think Sean McDermott hires Ken Dorsey if he doesn't also believe he's the right offensive coordinator to lead the offense moving forward. Now, we can debate whether or not it was the right decision, but I don't particularly care for the lack of congruency between celebrating Josh Allen for wanting and getting Ken Dorsey versus, well, the Bills needed to know what's best for him and shouldn't have let that happen. Well, I don't think Sean McDermott only hired Ken Dorsey because it was who Josh Allen wanted. I think we have to acknowledge that. Well, let's move on here. Early in the season, I felt like people were generally happy with the Buffalo Bills offense. Really liked the rhythm of the passing offense, a lot of quick passes with vertical shots sprinkled in, and you saw a really balanced passing offense. The concerns that people had early in the season were with red zone and short yardage. And then later in the season, people really liked the red zone, the short yardage, the run game, but not the rhythm of the passing game. And I would agree with that. And then Stephon Diggs goes on the Dan Patrick Show a couple weeks ago and offers the following quote. Steph Diggs said this, quote, "I feel like the first 9 weeks we had kind of like a formula, like a recipe for winning. And we kind of got away from it on the back end. We were creating ways to win, but just how we were winning wasn't as smooth as the first 9 weeks. So let's look at some data comparing the first 9 weeks to the last 9 weeks. The Bills played exactly 18 games. The first 9 weeks for Stephon Diggs, he had 985 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns, and 11 targets per game. The last 9 weeks for Stephon Diggs, 593 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns, and 8 targets per game. So a noticeable dip in Stephon Diggs' production in the last 9 weeks compared to the first 9 weeks. Now let's look outside of Stephon Diggs. The Bills actually scored 27.8 points per game in the first nine compared to 31.6 in the last nine. They were a better scoring team in the last 9 games compared to the first 9. Oh, by the way, the Bills were 6-3 in their first 9 games compared to 8-1 in the last 9. Now, there were some more pretty wins for sure in the first 9, and they had to, you know, grit it out against a lot of teams over the last 9. But whether you go from wins and losses or scoring, the Bills scored more points and won more games in the last 9 games compared to the first 9 games. Now, I want to get more specific with the last 9 games of the season, but first I need to tell you guys about FanDuel. It's the midway point of the NBA season, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and three drains. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay over at FanDuel. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, so what happened in those last 9 games where Stephon Diggs said, we just got away from our formula, it wasn't smooth, we were creating ways to win, but it just wasn't as smooth as the first 9 weeks? Josh Allen suffered a partially torn UCL in the elbow on his throwing arm in the 9th game of the season. That was significant. And I don't know that we're giving it enough attention. What was the difference in the first 9 games compared to the last 9? The first 9, Josh Allen had a perfectly intact UCL in his throwing elbow. And the last 9, he didn't. And we talked about how Josh Allen for several weeks wasn't really even practicing. A lot of limited practices. Meanwhile, you're trying to evolve a scheme. You're trying to function outside of that elbow and the limitations that it presented. Speaking of those limitations, Cover One's Eric Turner wrote a great article called Unpacking the Buffalo Bills' Offensive Woes, Where Did the Winning Recipe Go? Check it out. I want to share a quote from that article delivered by Kyle Trimble, Dr. Kyle Trimble. You guys know from this podcast, he comes on and previews every game from an injury perspective. And Dr. Kyle Trimble stated in this article that the arm slash elbow angles based on the type of throw affect how much pain there is and how much stress was placed through the joint. Deeper throws require less accuracy due to decreased elbow flexion, thus reducing stress on the injured joint. Shorter and intermediate throws require more precision with a different throwing motion, requiring more elbow flexion. The increased elbow flexion places the injured ligament on tension, causing pain. That, in turn, would affect speed. The faster he threw, the more torque is required through the elbow joint. However, the pain and instability limited how much torque the elbow could accept. With the offense predicated on timing to be in a specific location at any given time, any alteration in mechanics due to pain adjusting for elbow brace or speed could greatly affect the accuracy for ball placement to the receiver. That's a big deal. So why did the Bills all of a sudden have an ineffective short to intermediate passing game and lean into the deep ball? Hello, there's your answer. We all know that the Bills passing game lost rhythm and leaned way too much into deep passing, especially the last four games of the season. Courtesy of these comments from Dr. Kyle Trimble, we have a better understanding of why. Now, listen, I am not absolving Ken Dorsey. Perhaps he was too aggressive, right? We talked about this. Leaning into low percentage plays is a way to have an inconsistent offense. So even despite the challenges that Josh Allen had with his elbow, just launching the ball down the field all the time wasn't a great idea. And I'm criticizing Ken Dorsey for that. So don't you come away from this episode thinking that I'm just trying to make excuses for Ken Dorsey. I am criticizing him right here. So maybe it was a situation of him being too aggressive. Maybe he needed to evolve his scheme better as defenses began to counter what he was doing. I saw plenty of spacing issues with the Bills' route concepts. Those are fair criticisms towards Ken Dorsey, that you were too aggressive despite the circumstances and that the evolution of your scheme wasn't good enough. Ken Dorsey's growth remains to be seen. And it's fair to say that you wish he displayed more of it throughout the year last season. There are some people that don't think Ken Dorsey deserves another season as the Bills' offensive coordinator. That leads me to a question. And I think you have to look at it through this lens. It's not just, oh, Ken Dorsey should be fired, yes or no. It's not a binary thing. I think you have to look at it through this lens. Is year two of Ken Dorsey as the Bills' offensive coordinator better than year one of someone else? Is year two of Ken Dorsey, having now had a season of experience under his belt in the role, having seen different challenges, certainly should be in position to be more successful next year. Do you like the idea of that, or do you like the idea of just somebody else in year one? 15 teams in the NFL, 15 as of right now, will have a new offensive coordinator in 2023. That's basically half the league. Half the league is going to have a new offensive coordinator in 2023. Now, we talk about how offenses are measured statistically, right? Or we talked about how the Bills' 2022 offense was measured statistically. We talked about Josh Allen's elbow injury and how that impacted things down the stretch when everyone became frustrated with the offense. I personally find myself inclined to roll with Ken Dorsey into a second season where growth is expected as opposed to bringing in someone new. I talked about this a few weeks ago on the podcast. Not a single team in the conference championship games last year, AFC, NFC, those final four teams in the NFL, had a first-year coordinator at offense or defense. And I spent a little bit of time, not a ton, going through Super Bowl champions, and I couldn't find a single team that won the Super Bowl with a first-year offensive coordinator. Now, I'm going to look a little bit deeper into that because I want to know for sure. But as I kind of just went through all the teams, I couldn't find one. And so I'm concerned about signing up for that, right? There's something to be said for year-over-year continuity and how you can evolve. Now, continuity, just for the sake of continuity, is not good. But if you assess the situation and you realize that continuity with evolution, that's where you can really grow, right? Are you going to grow more by building on year one of Ken Dorsey into year two, or by bringing in some other guy to run the offense? I've seen some people say that the Bills need to support Ken Dorsey with an experienced offensive mind like a Jim Caldwell as an advisor. To which I would remind you that the Bills had Mike Shula, Rob Boris, Aaron Cromer, and Joe Brady on staff last year who have all been NFL offensive coordinators to support Ken Dorsey. The Bills didn't have a lack of offensive acumen on this coaching staff. They had plenty of it. So just because they had a first-year play caller doesn't mean that they didn't have an experienced offensive staff. All that leads me to the point that I want to make on this. Or it leads me to the next point that I want to make on this, honestly. I've seen a lot of criticism towards the Bills' offensive personnel. I've extended it too. We've talked about this, right? The wide receivers outside of Stephon Diggs, not good enough. Offensive line's probably below average. So now consider those two statements against how the offense performed and what you think of Ken Dorsey. So Ken Dorsey doesn't have a good offensive line. He doesn't have enough wide receiver talent outside of Diggs. But yet, we are critical that the offense wasn't better, not to mention Josh Allen playing the last half of the season with a partially torn UCL in his throwing elbow. I think we have to layer this together more effectively to arrive at more reasonable conclusions. I personally find myself comfortable acknowledging all three of the following statements as being true. The first one, considering the circumstances, the Buffalo Bills offense performed well in 2023. We went through it. Statistically, excellent. Top tier. Number two in the league. I believe that statement to be true. I'm also willing to accept this statement as being true. Even being mindful of circumstances, I am disappointed in the offensive architecture and objectives of the offense down the stretch. I'll say it again. Even being mindful of circumstances, I am disappointed in the offensive architecture and objectives of the offense down the stretch. And the last statement that I can simultaneously believe. While he needs to grow and the personnel needs to improve, Ken Dorsey deserves to continue as the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. I think you can live in a world where you can accept all three things. I'm doing it. And so this is me acknowledging a lot of good with the Bills offense last year and plenty of concerns. It's me being mindful of, as I consider all of that, that the O-line and the wide receiver talent needs to be better. And I could simultaneously say, you know what? Ken Dorsey deserves to continue as the Bills offense coordinator because year two of him building on last year and kind of going through all that will position him to be more effective than somebody else coming in and doing it for their first season with this team. With all of that said, in the next segment, I do want to discuss four specific areas that I want to see the Bills offense evolve in 2023. I'll be right back. All right, so we've talked a lot about the Bills offense last year, some of the circumstances that we need to be mindful of, the successes of it, the concerns with it, Ken Dorsey, all that. Now I want to talk specifically about how I want the offense to evolve in 2023. Now, I don't want to get into some of the obvious stuff. Well, I want them to score points, want them to be good on third downs. you know, convert touchdowns in the red zone, take care of the football. I want to focus on specific things that I want to be different next year. I have four things written down. Number one is I want better pass protection schemes. I think we get a lot of thoughts about the Bills and the offensive line and protecting Josh Allen better. And I certainly look at guy like Roger Saffold and realize that he was a below average player this year. I think I look at right tackle with Spencer Brown and say, you know what? I wish he performed better. I'm aware of the circumstances that contributed to that. I'm hopeful for what he can be next year, but I wish that those two players were better. They certainly took their share of L's. But I also feel like the Bills' protection schemes got a few times, especially against Miami. There were just times where I felt like it wasn't so much a guy missing a block in terms of getting beat, and it was more, okay, the defense knew the protection scheme, knew how to counter it, and were able to get heat on Josh Allen. I saw mental mistakes from the offensive linemen. I want that stuff to be better. So how do you do it? Well, first of all, let's get a better guard in place of Roger Saffold. Let's maybe move Ryan Bates back over to the left side where he said he's most effective. And I think we saw Deion Dawkins play some of the best football of his career with Ryan Bates next to him at left guard. Let's make sure that there's growth from Spencer Brown and that he has the right offseason plan, right, to get himself to play his best football this year, and certainly being able to do that without rehabbing through a back surgery. So number one is I want better protection schemes. Number two is I do want a more consistently balanced passing attack. And the first thing that I have written down is play action. The Bills took about a 10% dip in play action frequency from 2021 to 2022. Josh Allen is awesome at play action. He's super comfortable with ball handling, play fakes, turning his back to the defense, getting his hips around and knowing where his eyes need to be to find guys down the field. Like play action, the last thing the Bills offense needed was a 10% dip in play action frequency. So give me more play action. Also under this more balanced passing attack, I want improved route running. You know, Gabe Davis wound up pushing for 100 targets this past year. And I think he's a limited player that doesn't deserve that many targets. I'd like to see some of that taken away and put back into the slot. I like it to be put back into more efficient players that can run better routes, that can get open quickly and in the intermediate areas of the field at a higher clip than Gabe Davis. I want improved speed. If Ken Dorsey wants to utilize Josh Allen's big arm and push the ball down the field, how about some legit speed at receiver? Somebody that can truly take the top off the defense, a guy that can run away from coverage. They don't have that guy. And then, of course, yards after catch, which I think with improved route running and more of an emphasis on the short to intermediate passing game, you can get more yards after catch. So that's how I want to see the passing offense evolve in terms of balance. Play action, better route running, which is going to include finding a better slot and finding a player that can offset some of what you don't get from Gabe Davis as your wide receiver too. More speed, more yards after catch ability. Number three, I want to see more consistency utilizing Dawson Knox. I think Josh Allen even said it at some point. Maybe it was in the Kyle Brandt interview. He said, the offense is better when Dawson Knox has a bigger part of it. This is a $14 million a year tight end. Utilize him. At least 75, 80 targets for Dawson Knox every year has to be the norm. I mean, he's a guy that can really help this team, and he can do a lot. He can win down the seam. He can win vertically. It doesn't always have to be kind of leaking him into space and, you know, having him as a sit-down option. He can do a lot. He's a limitless player. Tap into all of that. You're paying for it. Utilize it. And that, I think, getting some more distribution to him, getting some more distribution to the backs is only going to make it easier on the wide receivers. And then number four, I want to see more of a physical rushing presence. I'm pleased with a lot of the ways that the Bills' run scheme evolved this past year. But I want to see them have more of a downhill ability, a guy that can truly wear down defenses, a guy that in the fourth quarter you can have him tote the rock and really force defenses to make business decisions and grind out yards and chew clock, have a closer in the backfield, a guy that can win in short yardage too, that can take something off of Josh Allen. Pretty much everything you wish Zach Moss was, right? That's what I want the Bills to have. And so I'm looking for, especially if you're going to have James Cook and Nyheim Hines back in your backfield next year, you got to complement that with a guy that has some density to him in terms of the way he's built, that can really bang between the tackles and be that battering ram. Now, I'm not looking for a plotter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not interested in a plotter. Just a big guy that, you know, runs in the back of blockers and falls forward. I want a guy that has some skill to go with that size and power. But somebody that runs angry, that can give you a physical rushing presence in your backfield. I like that. You could do some fun things there. Not only can you take things off of Josh Allen in terms of short yardage runs, but you can put the defense into some conflict by having Josh Allen and that running back on the field. So I'm looking for a more physical rushing presence and getting to it by having a 5'10", 225-pound back that can really chew up yards between the tackles and be physical and run angry. So that's how I want to see the Bills' offense evolve in 2023. Better protection schemes, a more balanced passing attack, more consistency utilizing Dawson Knox, and more of a physical rushing presence. And there you have it, folks. That's why this wasn't just the first segment, because I had over 30 minutes worth of things to say about Ken Dorsey, this offense, how I want it to evolve. I hope you found this to be helpful. And look, maybe you don't agree with everything I said. That's fine. I hope you don't listen to this podcast to just find somebody that you align with. I hope that you listen to this podcast because you are challenged, that you learn things, that you hear perspective that is rooted in data and not emotion, and you know, that can enhance your fandom, right? Something that can you can consume that allows you to be the most knowledgeable Bills fan that you can be. And again, that doesn't come from always agreeing with me. That comes from seeing my side of things and, you know, challenging your own thoughts and, you know, coming to the conclusions that make sense to you. So that's, I know that I probably spoke to a lot of people right now that are, Ken Dorsey has to go. The Bills made a mistake. This guy can't do it. He's not the right OC. All right, that's fine. We can still be friends, right? And you can see my side of things too. And I hope that you understand that I do see your side as well. I do. I see both sides of it. But in terms of what I think is the best plan for this team moving forward, it's everything that we just discussed. I'm looking forward to the rest of this week on the podcast. Tomorrow is going to be awesome. John Fina, former Bills left tackle, 9-year starter for the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to have him on the show tomorrow. And I have some stuff I want to get into him that, with his experience with deep postseason runs, with his experience playing for a team that had high expectations, I'm really interested to gaining his insight on this Buffalo Bills team and how they've kind of navigated some things that he's been through in his NFL career. So I'm excited for that. And then Greg Thompson's going to join us on Friday as we really dive into the salary cap dynamics for the Buffalo Bills this offseason. So some really good stuff coming your way. Don't miss anything. Make sure that you are subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bills. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.